Now I want to take a moment to talk about the budget that I'm submitting. First of all, the budget is balanced. It does not raise taxes on hardworking Iowans, and it protects our priorities, which will continue to strengthen our state, keep our commitment to the men and women who wear the uniform. It'll allow us to keep our commitment to children, public safety, and education at all levels too. This budget was developed using generally accepted accounting procedures and does not rely on federal funds to be in balance. And it is my fourth consecutive balanced budget that I've submitted. While protecting our most fundamental priorities, the budget also recognizes the constraints Iowa faces due to the ongoing national recession and the negative impact the recession has had on revenue. Simply put, we are coming out of the worst economic downturn since the Great Depression. As the recession, which began in 2007, reached Iowa, we reacted with common sense and sound fiscal management that Iowa taxpayers deserve. We have now taken 12 different steps to keep our budget balance for fiscal year 10, including an unprecedented agreement with two of our largest labor organizations related to unpaid days of leave, renegotiating leases, reducing travel, freezing hiring at certain times in the last year, and a 10% across the board cut. To the budget. This budget is almost $65 million smaller than the first one I submitted as governor in 2007. At that time, we submitted a budget of $5,384,000,000. This budget is $5,320,000,000. In addition, I will ask the legislature to fully implement the recommendations that I've submitted as a part of our government efficiency report, which I instituted over the last several months. As I mentioned, some of the recommendations are already in place through Executive Order 20, but there are dozens of our recommendations which will require legislative action. Actually, up to 50 of the 90 will require legislative action. I commend the legislature for making real progress on the efficiency and reorganization bill to date, especially Senator Stacey Apple, Representative Mary Masher. But we have to go further. I'm urging the legislature to adopt even more of the recommendations. I do still believe that we could save more than $300 million in fiscal year 11 by implementing both the executive order and making these legislative changes. That would allow us to save more than $1.5 billion over the next 5 years with these changes to the code. These savings will also allow us to fund our priorities. Our budget recommendations preserve $265 million of our reserve funds, and we will now have a surplus after using those reserve funds and with the ending balance of $382 million. This will allow us to protect our AAA bond rating. In addition to keeping our fiscal house in order, my budget calls for strong investment in job retention, training, and creation. So my budget provides funding to the Iowa Workforce Development Department to assure that people who are already out of work or looking to re-enter the workforce will continue to have the resources that they need. This budget also reflects our commitment to iJobs. It provides an additional $150 million in iJobs funding for shovel-ready projects around the state, especially for disaster-related projects. We will provide $25 million in this budget for the Iowa Power Fund to allow us to create more green-collar jobs and to allow Iowa to lead in terms of research and development related to renewable energy. And as we can all agree, we must protect our public safety, our personnel, our corrections officers, and our state troopers. So my budget reflects a $25 million increase in funding for the Department of Corrections and nearly $7 million more for the Department of Public Safety in order to avoid layoffs and provide essential frontline services that will allow Iowans to be protected and safe. And as I've said, some obligations are greater than any even during a recession. Namely, our obligation to educate our children and keep Iowans healthy. So my budget includes more than $16 million for preschool education and fulfilling our four-year pledge with a total now of $60 million for early childhood education, another $15 or $16 million, and that will allow us to reach our goal that I set 4 years ago for early preschool education. Additionally, I'm asking the legislature to fund 2% allowable growth for our public schools for a total of $2.4 billion from the general fund and an additional $100 million for K-12 that we will use from the reserve funds. I've included $37 million in fiscal year 10, which will be done in a supplemental budget bill, and fiscal year 11 for regions and community colleges, which will leverage more than $125 million in federal funds. After meeting with Secretary Duncan last Thursday in Washington, it was made very clear to me that the state of Iowa would be required to maintain our educational spending level from fiscal year 06, that's also known as a maintenance of effort requirement, in order to secure these education stabilization funds for both 10 and fiscal year 11. As I said previously, we were hoping that we would be able to obtain a waiver for that maintenance of effort requirement, but the Secretary of Education and his staff made it very clear that the only way you could get a waiver is if you had proportional budget cuts. And that was not the case in Iowa after we backfilled the 10% cuts for things like public safety, public health. Therefore, we're not going to take any chances, and we're going to use funds from our reserves to meet that maintenance of effort requirement for fiscal year 10 and fiscal year 11, which means we will not need the waiver, and it will allow us to maintain our commitment in terms of public education at the higher education level. Finally, my budget increase of $180 million for Medicaid and $10 million for Hawkeye will allow us to provide medical coverage for needy children, senior citizens, and pregnant women. Iowa is a national leader in providing health insurance to children, and this is not the time to turn the clock back. In closing, while we all know that we have been adversely affected by this recession, we have worked hard to develop a balanced budget, a budget which funds our deepest priorities and saves taxpayer dollars. My budget recommendations are the starting point in the legislative process in passing a budget that in the end will move our state forward. I look forward to working with the legislature in a bipartisan way to get this balanced budget to my desk as soon as possible. I just had a very productive meeting with the Republican leadership a few moments ago, and I met with the Democratic leaders prior to that meeting. So we're off, I think, to a good start in terms of trying to find bipartisan consensus on our fiscal year 2011 budget. So with that, I'd be happy to answer questions. Our budget director, Dick Oshla, is also here.
Two big ticket item questions. First of all, is the $150 million in iJobs for shovel-ready projects, is that new borrowing?
No, that's a part of the original $830 million package.
And in regards to the $100 million for schools that you recommended taking out of the cash reserve, even Democrats upstairs say that is not going to happen. Do you have another argument to present to them other than the one that you presented here before?
Well, I feel pretty strongly about my argument that we have to help our public schools, K to 12. They've suffered a great deal because of the 10% cut, because of the downturn in our economy. And I really hope that we can find consensus on providing up to $100 million in additional funds for those 361 school districts. And again, this is a starting point. I'm very respectful of our separation of powers and appreciate that we will have differences. And at the end of the day, though, we've got to find consensus, and I'm sure on that issue and a number of others, we will. And I understand their questions and their concerns, and there are a lot of competing interest.
What's your fallback plan if you don't get $341 million in savings from the organization? Because the pieces are moving up.
Right. Well, actually, we have a handout today that I think will give you a really good, honest assessment of kind of where we are. I think part of the challenge here is that, in fairness to the legislators, they've not had time to address all 50 of the recommendations. So we will show you very clearly where we hope they will add and find additional savings. And I've been assured from leadership that all of these 50 items are still on the table. So we want to be very clear and straightforward about where we think we stand on that. So I'm hopeful that we'll find those savings. Frankly, otherwise, the legislature is going to have to show me how they're going to put together a budget without those savings that will allow us to not raise taxes and protect our priorities. So there will be a lot of back and forth on if and when we can reach an agreement. But I've clearly stated, and I will do so again here this afternoon, that we have to take a big, bold step when it comes to reforming government, finding efficiencies, and reorganizing state government. This is the time to do it.
Does your balanced budget count on transferring that $50 million from road use tax funds to pay for troopers?
Yes. Yeah, it's all of the recommendations from Public Works are included in that $341 million figure. Roughly $130 million from the executive order number 20, and the rest from the 50 recommendations, including the road use.
But then, for example, like closing Mount Pleasant Mental mm-hmm. Health Facility, it looks like you're still recommending
Dick, do you want to try to clarify?
We embedded the 341 on the balance sheet, and since this is still, the executive order is still being developed and implemented, we didn't go in and adjust every line item appropriation. The budget, as the governor said, is built on that full $341 million.
Governor, could you name two or three of the most significant areas that are going to actually get less next year than they
every area? I mean, essentially the 10% cut is where everyone starts, with the exception of $48 million. So everyone, with very few exceptions, is starting fiscal year 11 with a 10% budget reduction.
Are there any that are getting cut below that?
No. Yeah, and I want to speak briefly to the tax credit review panel. First of all, I really appreciate the work that Fred Hubble and others did on that, and I appreciate the public input. In fiscal year 11, we estimate that the state will pay in the neighborhood of $525 million in tax credits. So that's our exposure. That's obviously a big number, especially during lean budget times. So I recommend that we reduce that number by $52 million or 10%. And I'm hoping that we can find consensus on where we do that. The exceptions that I have made to that cut are 260E job training programs through community colleges. We've got to continue to provide those credits and fund those important programs that tens of thousands of Iowans need now. I've asked the director, Brett Mills, of the Department of Economic Development to sit down immediately with business leaders, community college presidents, and make sure that there's a comfort level that those programs are working as they were intended to work. So if that's the case, we will commit those tax credit dollars to the program. There were some fair questions raised about how much we're spending and whether or not we're getting our return on investment. Assuming we conclude that the answer is yes, I think we have to keep that commitment to those job training tax credits. In addition, the renewable energy tax credits, biodiesel, ethanol, and wind, I'm recommending that we keep in place. And I've seen enough to understand that, especially now, with all the progress we've made related to renewable energy, that we've got to keep that focus and that commitment if we want to build on our progress. Having said all that, this is going to be a challenge to put this budget together. I'm not suggesting that it won't be. That has also been the case for the last 3 years. I think the advantage that we have coming into this budget process, we understand how serious the recession has been. There's very little cushion at all. I mean, right now I have an ending balance of $117 million and reserves of $265 million. We want to keep it that way. That's as low as we'd like to go. So I found a way to do the most essential things in terms of protecting priorities, and I've presented that idea. And you know, I'm open to working with the legislators on you know, figuring out where we can all agree to, so we can have a budget and you know, adjourn.
So are you not advocating for the elimination of the specific age recommended by your tax credit panel?
Correct. With the exception of renewable energy, and I'm not sure exactly where they came down on job training. I think there was actually some who felt we should get rid of that job training tax credit. So other than that, I am open to all of the recommendations aside from renewable energy and job training tax credits. This would not require any additional layoffs if we pass this budget, which is important, or furlough, other than the ones that have already been agreed to for the remainder of fiscal year 10. So every state employee, with very few exceptions in the executive branch, for example, will be taking 3 to 10 furlough days. Yes. So this would allow us to, in large part because of the early retirement package, where we think we could save $50 to $60 million, that's how we would offset the furloughs and additional layoffs, is through that early retirement package. So you know, we've already reduced significantly the number of state employees. Again, this budget is smaller than the one from fiscal year 7, so we are lean, and I think any additional cuts and layoffs could really start to hamper our ability to deliver basic services.
Can you explain how some of the very difficult decisions are made? I know that you say to go through this line by line. One of the things that caught my eye is that battle flags, the $100,000, were obviously departments like DHS and the things that you just mentioned, furloughs and stuff like that, a lot of people are obviously, being hurt by that. So how are some of these decisions made?
Literally, I mean, it's just a very tough, drawn-out process where you weigh the pros and cons of each and every one of these appropriations. I mean, it is very difficult. But what's most important, you have to look at the bottom line. You've got to look at the ending balance. You have to look at the cash reserves. And, I mean, in that case, we're committed to supporting those that have worn the uniform. Veterans are a priority. It's important to honor those who served in the Civil War. That's important.
Republicans would say that this budget forces property taxes up. Do you agree with that or not?
I don't at all, and let me tell you why. Two reasons, and then we do have to wrap this up. One, we've already passed historic legislation this session that requires school districts to use their cash reserves before they are allowed to even consider a property tax increase. That's never been done before. But because I believe, and the Democratic leadership believes, that we have to limit any new taxes on any Iowan, we passed it, and I've already signed that legislation. Number two, there are 361 school districts. Like state government, I believe they can find efficiencies. We've come up with a plan to save more than $1.5 billion over the next 5 years. I expect school districts across the state to do the exact same thing. So the idea that they're going to keep spending at a certain level, we've just cut spending by more than $500 million in the last 36 months, but we're going to still find a way to deliver essential services and protect our priorities. We expect the same thing from those 361 school districts, and I believe they will. I believe they're ready to go through the exact same process that we've gone through as a group. So in terms of pooling their resource, pooling in terms of insurance, pooling in terms of food costs, transportation costs, this is an opportunity for those government entities to find savings and work together and still provide the same, if not better, services to our kids and educational opportunity for our kids. And that's a real difference between me and the Republicans. The Republicans are just assuming that we're going to keep spending money and giving it to anyone that asks for it. And I don't think that we should have that mentality. I think we should set the bar high in terms of expectations and finding efficiencies and reorganizing government at every level will allow us to do that.
All right, thanks.
Thank you all.